Good morning, Gospel Life Church and visitors. We have a packed house today, and a lot of you guys have come to support us. You're partners with us in various ways. Your churches are partnering with us, and thank you for your partnership. Thank you for being here today to encourage us. Thank you for being here and just celebrating with us what God has done. And some of you guys are visitors, and you're like, what did I just walk into? You're welcome. I hope you have been made to feel welcome. We are very happy to have you with us. And my name is Trey. I'm the pastor. We had Daniel. He's one of our elders helping lead worship today. We had John, who was coming and talking to us about the word today already. He's one of our elders. If we can help you guys, if you're visiting, got any questions, find one of us. We would love to serve you. So I guess we ought to just go ahead and kick it off. Y'all ready? Who is Gospel Life Church? What are we doing here? We are what? Living to. Has this been up there the whole time? I thought y'all knew that by now. That's the first time I saw people reading it. That's the first time I've looked back ever. So y'all do know this, right? Okay. I'm just like, man, I feel a little deceived. Right? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Thank you, Dale.
You're welcome.
Now, we're celebrating a year of gathering together on Sunday mornings as Gospel Life Church. I remember the process, you know, when we started, several of us started meeting together on Sunday evenings in January of 2023, just walking together. What does it mean to be a New Testament church? What does it look like? What is the gospel life? What does it mean to abide in Christ? What does it mean to live for His kingdom, to live in His strength, for His glory, and to walk through that? And remember, y'all remember when we were praying, like, Lord, we feel like we're supposed to be meeting in the Cochran area, but there's just really nowhere to meet, and everybody's telling us that the schools are closed and that's not going to be an option. Y'all remember when we fasted and prayed, asking God to give us favor? Remember we genuinely, humbly went before the school board and said, you know, we don't have any expectations. We're seeking God's direction. This is why we think it'd be a great idea for us to use the Lewisburg Middle School. We're asking you guys to reconsider. And unanimously they agreed to allow us to use the school for at least a year, maybe to renew it. Y'all remember like a month ago they renewed it for another year? That's all God, right? Like, we can't overlook what God has done. And then you think about how much we've grown as a family of faith together, not just like in numbers, but just growing in relationship. The community that we get to enjoy in our small group fellowship, the accountability and the encouragement, folks that are willing to say hard things with love and to help people be restored when necessary. See how God's been moving amongst us, in our midst, through us, with us, using us even for His glory. Today, we're going to spend, this is a lot different than a normal service. If you're visiting with us today, bear with us. We're going to spend some time remembering. And then we're going to spend some time refocusing, and then we're going to spend some time looking ahead. Like, what does this mean for next year? And so that's kind of the structure of today. And Lord willing, we're going to do all that in 35 minutes. But if I was a betting man, I wouldn't put my money on it. August 20th, 2023 was our public launch. It's when we put the flags out and we started, you know, we all summer we knocked on doors and passed out flyers saying, come worship with us for a new church in the area. And that day, we talked about Ephesians chapter 2, living the gospel life. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God made us alive through Christ. And as we applied that, we talked corporately about some big picture stuff. So I'm going to remind you of August 20th's big picture stuff. This is real simple. You know this stuff if you've been with us, but Gospel Life vision, is living the gospel life to glorify God and make disciples. That's who we are. That's what we have to stay tethered to. That's why we think that the church exists. And we talked about our core values, and there are several core values. We think that you can sum them up. We love Jesus above all. We teach to follow and obey Jesus. And we send every member, and we go to every place. We just have to keep our focus on the big picture, the kingdom of God, the nations. We have to have a sending culture. We have to have a going culture, a praying culture, a heart that loves the nations like God does. So, an easy way to remember core values. By the way, we got these cards. I don't think I have one in my... I do. We got these cards in the back that has all of this information on it. So you can grab one if you need one. But an easy way to remember the core values is love, teach, send. Love, teach, send. Love Jesus above all. Teach to follow and obey Jesus. And send every member to every place. So how do we do it? How do we fulfill this vision? Well, here's our strategy. And if every single member is a worshiper, a family member, a steward, a servant, and a disciple maker, I think we will fulfill this vision. And when we say every member is a worshiper, it's all about Jesus, right? I mean, it's got to be the preeminence of Christ. This is not, we're not doing this to draw a big crowd or make a living. This is about King Jesus. And every one of you have got to be worshiping him first, primarily, preeminently in your life. Worshiper, a family member. Church is not a country club. This is a family. We are the family of God. And we get to be family together. And some of you guys, you don't have a lot of biological family, or maybe you don't have anybody that's in your biological family that's in the faith, but you have family for eternity through this church body. We're family. A steward. A steward is not somebody that has stuff. It's somebody that manages it for others. Everything belongs to God. It's all his. Our breath is his. He gives it to us every day. And so we want to live our lives as stewards, stewarding, yes, the money, yes, the material things, but even the gospel that we've been entrusted to. Every single thing about us is stewarding for his kingdom, for his glory. Does that make sense? When we're given, it's not like we just give a little bit back. It's like we're praying. What we don't give, how do we use that for his kingdom? And what we do give, how do we use that for his kingdom? It's stewardship. And then every single member, a disciple maker. And guys, I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. And I'm so passionate to see you enjoy the privileges it is to see people come to Christ and to help them in their walk with Jesus. So every member, worshiper, family member, steward, servant, disciple maker. And some ways that we use this. We talked about this in our small groups. Our small groups are so important to this strategy. If you've been kind of coming on Sunday morning for a while, praise God that we have a great time to worship. And praise God we're studying through the book of Luke verse by verse, line by line. We're trying to encourage and challenge and equip on Sunday mornings. But small groups, y'all, is really where the disciple making and equipping is happening. And so we use the three-thirds, looking back, looking up, and looking ahead, or forward, depends on your flavor. When we look back, it's a time of encouragement. We share our highs and our lows for the week. It's a time of accountability. Did we put to practice the things that we've been learning? Have we been sharing the gospel or seeking to make disciples? How are we loving our family? And then we... Sometimes some groups even have a time of worship. Like, let's transition, and they put songs on the TV, and they sing and worship together. Sounds a lot like church to me, and I love it. Looking up is a time to pray and seek God and to seek him in his word. And it's not a lecture time. It's a time for us together collectively to ask the right questions, to understand the passage, and seek to live it out. I'll get to that in a second. And then looking ahead or looking forward is a time to set goals to obey so that we're not just hearers, but we are doers of God's word. And that is so crucial to the Christian walk. trying, y'all, trying to be a New Testament church. And then the sword method, y'all know the sword method, right? That's the primary tool that we use in our small groups. It's a great tool for you to use in your personal time with Jesus. It's a really good tool to use if you're teaching other people how to study the Bible, or if you're just meeting with a coworker and studying the Bible with them, or a classmate. If I'm holding a sword, it points up. That reminds me to ask the question in this passage: what do we learn about God? And if man is holding the sword, what do we learn about man? And then on one side, is there any sin to avoid or turn from? And are there any commands or examples to follow? And as we dialogue through that, y'all, I never cease to be amazed at the way the Holy Spirit uses His Word and gives His people insight. And it's always something fresh, the way that God is revealing Himself to us in His Word, showing us areas of our life that need to be surrendered, reminding us of the power of the gospel to live it out. We use the seven commands of Christ. It's such a simple tool to teach new believers or even old believers just the basics. And it's a great barometer for healthy church too. Like, are we doing these things? Do y'all remember the first ones? If I do the hand motions, will y'all say it? All right, I'm going to do the hand motions. We got this and then this. Y'all know that? Repent and believe. And then we've got be baptized. And we've got prayer. And then I'm just winging it now. How about this one? Give from the heart. And then we've got Lord's Supper. Glad to have Tanya back so we can have some bread now. Breaking the bread. And there's one more, right? Here. How about that one? Oh, there's two more. Yeah, I love. I can't believe I missed this. The one that I love the most. Like, remember that one? Y'all said it. Go and make disciples. Urgency, urgency. This is, I guess it works too with the four bracelet, but I was talking about the urgency of the time. Good job. Good job. Now, that was a lot of the stuff we talked about August 20th, 2023, public launch. Who we are, how we're seeking to make disciples, how we're seeking to live this out as a body. Here's some highlights, I think, that are just good to celebrate, okay? So we started meeting on Sunday nights in January of 2023. In May, we formed five small groups from the core team from the Sunday nights. So in May, it was a hard time because, like, for a month, we didn't get to all be together, but we all went to five different groups all over the place, meeting on Sunday nights. Did that through May into June. Then we received permission from the school board to use this school. And y'all, if you don't know, God has given us such favor here. Mr. Meadows loves the Lord. He's the principal here. And anytime I ever ask him, can we do this or can we do that? He's like, anything you need. Can we use this? Can we use that? Anything you need. I mean, when I told him that we were renewed a year, he was thrilled about it. Like, that's favor from God. There's no other way around it. That's favor from God. The favor that we enjoy. On June 25th is when we met for the first time, 2023, as Gospel Life Church on a Sunday morning. Y'all remember that day? Y'all remember? That was an exciting day. We studied through the book of Philippians together. We talked so much about putting our kingdom goggles on and pondering the Word of God and not being anxious but turning to Jesus. And it was supposed to be 4 weeks, but it turned into a little bit longer, I think. It's hard to preach Philippians. You think you can do it in 4 weeks. All right, now we just received another year. Since we started meeting, period, this would be since January of 2023, we've seen 9 baptisms through Gospel Life Church here. Actually, to be fair, we've seen 10 baptisms. One was in Japan, and that was a beautiful picture. Y'all remember the video we got? What a beautiful thing. So here's what I really like, okay? I had a buddy that asked me one day, if you look at the book of Acts, where were they meeting? How were they gathering? Sometimes they were gathering in the temple in large numbers. Sometimes they were gathering in homes. And he said, when did they start and stop being the church? Small group, large group? We want our small groups here to feel like church, to be church. We want you guys to have that that authority to be the church and to make disciples. And so some of our baptisms have been in small groups, in bathtubs with 20 people crowded in a bathroom celebrating this person professing Christ, and then taking a video of it and sending it to the rest of the church so that we could rejoice with them. That's legit. That's baptism. I'm going to tell you something else. This could be controversial, but that's okay. I told John and Daniel one day when we were meeting, if we do this thing right, there's going to be people that think that we're liberal, and there's going to be people that think that we're way too conservative. Like, if we do this thing right, if we try our best to stay focused on the New Testament model, it's going to be weird to somebody, right? Either, no matter which side. This is a core value of mine. Matthew 28, we'll talk about it in a minute, is given to every Christian. Every single believer is called to make disciples, and part of that is to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we've had women in our church that have had the privilege to lead someone to Christ, and even in a bathtub to baptize them and celebrate that. I think that's huge, because what we're doing, y'all, is we are allowing these ladies to fulfill the Great Commission. That is part of being a New Testament church. It's a big deal. So if you want to talk more about that, I would love to. And we still have more to baptize. I don't know if you noticed the horse trough walking in. That's our baptismal. After lunch, we're going to have a baptism. So stick around. All right, some other things we've seen God do. We started with 5. Now we have 7 small groups. I really hope for 10, but we're going to celebrate 7. You know, like we just set goals for the sake of seeing what God's going to do and trying to stay forward focused. But one of the things that thrills me is one of those groups is 4 students, and it's led by students. They use the 3/3, they use the sword method, and they're meeting together. And another thing that thrills me is that a good handful of the students that are coming wouldn't be going to church anywhere else if they weren't coming and seeing that. And they get to see real gospel life, taking the mask off and seeking Jesus and desiring to be transformed by his word, not trying to be self-righteous or put on a show, but just to seek Jesus. That's good stuff, y'all. Something else that I really love about our small groups is how multi-generational they are. You might have toddlers bumping around, and I know it's hard. I get it. I know. Megan went and bought toddler toys so we could have toddler. We hadn't had toddler toys in our house in a long time. Now we got them. We got teenagers that are deeply involved in the conversation, and this is something that I think is so special and so gospel-saturated. When the teenagers in our group share insight they have into the Word, the adults listen and learn from them. Sometimes teenagers even offer suggestions or counsel to an adult. And if it's of the Holy Spirit and if it's the Word of God, that is legit. Like something we celebrate at Gospel Life is if you're a believer, you're a member of the church. The children in this church are not the future of our church. If they're believers, they're our church now. You get that? Kids, do y'all understand that? Are y'all tracking with me? You remember that, right, JP? You're part of this church. You serve here. You love Jesus. You help us. You're part of this body. So, we've had a wedding. We've had some new babies, new life. We've had some baby showers along the way. We've had some mission trips. First few mission trips were in, it was weird in transitioning because we were like, it's almost like we were riding 2 horses. A Longview Point and a Gospel Life, and we're like, where are we at? Who are we? And there's such a sweet relationship there. It's really not any division at all. But half the team would be Longview Point, and half the team would be Gospel Life, and that I think that's a beautiful thing. But we've been to, through those trips, we've been to India, we've been to Japan, and then John and Sharon just got back from Uganda. And so we've got plans to go more places in the future. We want to be a church on mission. I'll say it now, just so when I say it later in my actual preaching time, I want every single member here to have a passport. There's no excuse. You need a passport. You just need a passport. They're good for 10 years, you know, like you need to have it ready, sitting on go. Yes, on the table. We got an amazing worship team, y'all, that just love Jesus and serve each other. And and humbly serve together and rotate and share. And if one person's sick, we got somebody there to pick it up and run with it. I mean, there was a day when just the way that it all unfolded, we didn't have any adults here that were able to lead worship. But guess what? Teenagers, they got it. They led worship, and it was beautiful. That's God. That's just God's grace towards us, the way that he gifts individuals to fulfill what we need here. Amazing worship team and leaders that are growing and being raised up. I wonder sometimes, and it's hard to think about having to send folks off and give away, but I wonder sometimes, what is God up to with the amazing group that we have? Surely some of us will be sent out to start new churches and equipped to do so. Surely some of us will be sent to the nations and equipped to go and make disciples. Surely God has big plans to thrust out more laborers into his harvest. Since we started meeting, we've established a team of elders. I can't tell you how much it means to me to have like-minded brothers to sit down with on a normal basis weekly. This summer's been hit and miss. I mean, John was gone all June. I don't mean that in a bad way. He was doing ministry the whole time, but couldn't sit down. But Daniel and I still hung out a little bit. To sit down with these brothers and to talk about hard stuff, to pray together, to think about vision together, to go and love on folks and seek to help people live the gospel life together. I didn't know how much I needed that. To have John preach once a month. You know, I started off doing that for y'all and for him because he's a great preacher and preachers like to preach, and I didn't want to be stingy. But it has been so good for me to have John preach to me every month. That's a blessing from God. To have Daniel eager, not just to sing and lead and worship in that way, but eager to preach the word of God. And this guy is a busy brother, man. He's working on his master's degree. He's got young children. He works full-time at Starbucks. And quarterly, he comes and serves us the word. That's God's goodness to our church. I'm so thankful for our team. We got students that are serving and leading in all kind of ways, gospel life. I didn't even know Elizabeth was going to be doing the mission moment today. I didn't even know that till she got up here. I was like, cool. I was wondering who it was going to be. That's good stuff, y'all. We got kids that are growing, learning not just to sit still, but they're getting stuff out of it. I feel like I got an echo. Come over here. That's huge. Kids are growing. I'm so proud of y'all. I know it's hard to sit here for so long. Y'all are doing so good. Parents that are growing as disciple makers and as parents, you guys are stepping up. I'm proud of you. You're doing good. We've got gospel community in this church, and that's a big deal. You don't listen to me. If you're here today and you kept the mask on when you walked in, you don't need it here. You don't need a mask here. You're broken, and so am I. And we both need Jesus, and he's more than enough. That's gospel community. Monthly outreaches, it's last Saturday of every month. We are storming Cochrane for Christ. We're training members how to share the gospel, and we're training folks how to push through fear and how to, you're nervous and you knock on the door and then you finally just like, okay, we'll just see what happens. And we have over almost 400 on the books, but I think we've knocked on about 500 doors. I really do. We have people that are serving here so joyfully. One of my favorite times, if you don't know it, Gospel Life Church. Get here at 8:30 in the morning. Well, during the summer. When it's not summer, we have to do this every day. 8 o'clock in the morning, there are folks here whistling and humming and singing and setting up and cleaning up and mopping and dust mopping. And the worship team is running through their songs, and we're out here mopping while we listen to it and sing out loud. That is joyful service. And I love that. And it's not just the setup and the tear down. It's the worship team. It's the people that are helping with all the family meals. All this stuff happening behind the scenes. The nursery workers that are serving our families and loving it. I mean, we have such joyful service. This is us seeking, by God's grace, to be a New Testament church for His glory, for God's kingdom. Now, I got to fly. There's no way we're doing this in 30 minutes. Financially, I saved this towards the end because this is a factor, but it's not the main barometer. But it's just a celebration of what God has done. If you look at from January 2023 till June of this year, from outside support, that's partners outside of this church body, God has provided $132,000, almost $133,000 to help us in this work. That's a lot of church. There's a lot of outside partners that are helping us with this. That's a big deal. Tithes and offerings from inside, $230,000. That's amazing, y'all. What God can do with a relatively small group of folks that are seeking to be stewards. So the total giving that would be, like, compiled all that together would be $364,000. Now here's something neat. Now you got to remember, okay, this will help with the percentages. We were receiving some outside support along the way, all the way from January till June, but we didn't start giving as a church until June. That's when we started meeting together, and really the end of June. So if you factor all of 2023 and all of 2024, we've given away as a church body $38,000 to missions. That's like Lottie Moon Cooperative Program. That's church planting networks. That's missionaries on the ground. That's local ministries and things like that. And that's big. That's, if you take it out of the overall number, like the total number that we received, that's 10%. If you take it out of just what the tithes and offerings are, that would be 16.5%. But here's what I think is really neat. For 2024, January through now, total given has been $110,000. That's outside and inside support. Our missions given has been $18,000, almost $19,000, which is 17% of what we bring in. Why am I saying that? Because it's about God's kingdom. And this is 18,000 relatively is not a big number, but it's a great percentage for us to try to stay outwardly focused. And this is a really good time. Well, no, first I got to say this. All right, we also have $10,000 that we've earmarked for church planting. So if God sends us a church planter, it's not a lot. We got $10,000 to help run with them. And also, we have $120,000 in our building fund, which is, I'm finding out more and more that that's really nothing compared to what it would cost. But hey, I'm telling y'all, I'm good with having church in a barn. Air conditioning would be a perk. We'll find out who the New Testament disciples are real quick. The Lord is our provider. And we are stewards of what He has provided. And I think that those are things to celebrate. And one last thing, just a thank you. Like, a lot of the budget also goes to me and my family and helping us be able to be full-time focused on this. And we have some of it that goes towards Daniel and his family to help him have the time freed up to do this. We have some that stays here for local ministry. When we go out and do outreach, he's here. Or when we have to pay to meet here, which is not a lot. It's a huge blessing from God. But your giving is a symbol, a sign, an evidence of God's faithfulness to us and the way that you are stewarding those things. So all that is us celebrating, looking back, what God's done. So praise God. So, John, you want to just pray for us, bro, and just tell God thank you for those things? Real quick, just pray and tell God thank you for His blessings this year. Amen. Thank you, bro. Now, here's the deal. We got to stay on track. A passage, I think, that helps us stay on track is Matthew 28. I don't think it's going to be new to you, but we're going to look at verses 18 through 20. You got to remember the context of Matthew 28. Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven because we could not get to Him. And He lived the perfect life that we could never live. And then He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin debt. The Bible says that we are all sinners. We have all sinned and fall short of God's glory. And the wages of sin is death. We deserve God's punishment because we are still sinners. Jesus died for us. That's who we are. Redeemed. You are loved. You are treasured. You are righteous and forgiven. You are reconciled to God. And Jesus died on the cross. His disciples have been following Him around for 3 years, and now they're scattered and terrified. And then what happens? Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, what happens? Duke, you know, right? Did Jesus stay in the grave? 3 days later, what happened? He rose from the grave. Come on, bro. Now, He rose from the grave. Now listen to this. He called His disciples to meet Him in a certain spot. He was with them for several days. And He gives them kind of some marching orders. Now listen to this, okay? Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, verse 18, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Do y'all believe that? Does He have all authority? Do y'all believe that? "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe," or to obey, "all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's walk through this passage by asking a few questions. Who has all authority? Y'all say it like you believe it. Jesus, come on. Jesus has all authority. Where is His authority? Heaven and earth. That's pretty much everywhere. So here's our question. Does Jesus have all authority in your life right now? Are you fully submitted, fully surrendered? Is He the Lord of your life? Are you holding anything back? And if so, would you surrender right now everything afresh and anew to Him? Hold nothing back. He's trustworthy. Will you trust Him? And will you follow Him? And will you obey Him? He said He has all authority. Are we going to live like it? You don't say, "No, Lord." You say, "Yes, Lord." Next question. Are you His disciple? He said, "Go make disciples." He's talking to His disciples. Are you willing to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus? And are you willing to be a disciple maker? Where did He say to make disciples? All nations. Wait a minute, Trey. That's a little bit much. Is He your Lord? Are you surrendered? Are you a disciple? Will you be a disciple maker? Are you willing to go anywhere He sends you and to talk to anybody He leads you to? Let's ask it this way. Is there anywhere you would not go if He said go? Are there any people that you just don't like and are unwilling to talk to about Jesus? Is He the Lord of your life? Are you His disciple? Are you willing to follow Him? Now, He said to baptize them. Have you been baptized? Baptism doesn't save us. But it's a picture of our salvation, and it's a belief. It's a statement of faith. It's trust. It's obedience. Baptism identifies us as followers of Jesus. Are you willing to be baptized? And if you have been, are you willing to baptize others when you lead them to Jesus to fulfill the Great Commission, to teach them to follow Him and obey Him? I love to baptize people. When you get to see someone come to Christ and you get to explain to them what they're doing, and you see them step past their uncomfortableness to just publicly proclaim Jesus. But you know what? I really love to see disciples get to baptize those that they have brought to Jesus. Are you seeking God in His Word, being taught by others how to follow Him and obey Him? Jesus said to make disciples of all nations, to baptize them, but He said then to teach them to obey what? All that I've commanded. Now, you're like, Trey, that's a tall order. I don't even know what all He commanded. Here's what I want you to focus on. Are you willing to teach them to be obedient to Jesus? We're not their Savior. We're not their authority. As they read the Word, they need to know, read it and obey Jesus. Follow Him in obedience. Are you seeking Him? Are you obeying Him? Let me ask you this. Is there anything in your life that God has been convicting you of that you need to confess a sin and turn away from? Anything at all? Anything? Is there anything that the Lord has been leading you to do that you need to surrender and obey? Now, this isn't straight from the Great Commission, but I think it's practical. Are you in a small group community learning how to follow and obey Jesus together? I'm telling you, it helps so much. Are you willing to meet with and help new believers learn to follow and obey Jesus? And now, here's your last one, okay? Jesus said, go to all the nations. Some of those nations were and are hostile. Some of the places the early church thrived is absolutely hostile to the gospel now. He didn't say go to the easy places. He said go to all the nations. But then He gave us this promise. I am with you. Do you believe that Jesus is with you? When you come on Saturday and we go out and knock on a door and you feel that little nervousness, do you believe He's with you? When you get on a plane, even though you don't like to travel, because there's people across the ocean that have never heard the name of Jesus, and you start to get a little nervous when you go through customs, do you believe that He's with you? It makes all the difference. This is huge, y'all. We can't do this on our own. We can't make disciples. We can't convince people to follow Jesus. We can't do it, but God can. It has to be God. He's the one sending us. He's the one with us. He's the one using us. It's Him. Y'all, that's the good news of the gospel life. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God can. And through us, He will. Jesus is the one making this stuff happen. Y'all believe that? Now, let's keep it focused. As a church, we have to keep our focus on the Great Commission. We must stay focused on making disciples, not just church members. We must be seeking to reach the nations. That's why every Sunday we pray for an unreached people group. That's why we're saying every member should have a passport. That's why we are seeking to kind of push folks out the nest and say, come with us, come with me. That's why we're trying to create more opportunities to go. We got to be reaching the nations. We must be willing to give folks and resources away, to plant churches that plant churches that make disciples that make disciples. We have to be about God's kingdom, not just our kingdom. That, I think, the Great Commission in those ways can help us as a church stay focused this next year and who knows how many more years. Now, looking ahead, real quick, I'm thankful, God. This time of reflection has been good for me because mission drift is real. And if we're not careful, we can think it's all about the Sunday morning show. And it's not. It's not. This is a big aspect of who we are, meeting together and praising Jesus. But it's about making disciples. It's about God's kingdom. It's about multiplication, not for the sake of multiplication or for getting bigger, but so that more folks are coming into God's kingdom. So when I say these things, I don't mean negativity. I mean, like, we have some big stuff to look forward to this year also. I'm thankful for what God has done. I'm excited about what He might do looking forward. And as we look ahead in the coming year, there's some goals that I think that we can pray through and pray over and hope and see realized. The Lord has brought a great team together. We got a good team. You guys jive. You get here and know what to do. But the Lord's added to our number some new folks that haven't been with us from day one, and they get here and they don't know really what to do or how to plug in. And when we can help them, we can help new members get more plugged in and serving and owning this vision of gospel life. We've had dozens of visitors this past year. Many, 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 many first-time visitors. I think I've been convicted that I could steward that better. I don't know if everybody that's visited here knows Jesus. I don't know why some didn't come back. I can assume. I think that we have ways to improve on receiving folks and getting into their lives and inviting them into our community. Parents, y'all been doing a great job. Teaching your children about the Lord. Teaching your children about being part of our gathering. I mean it when I say great job. Great job, parents. It's hard. I get it. This year, one of my burdens as I've been praying is to help equip you better. Always to be there helping you grow as disciple makers in your home. I'm excited for us to grow in this together. You guys, it won't hurt my feelings if you come to me and say, I need help. I'll be happy to do what we can do. Now, we've seen seven small groups. I'm praying the Lord will double that this year. I think we can double that. I think we can double, we can get 14 groups. We need groups meeting in different areas on different nights so that we are more accessible for folks to get plugged into. We make a big deal about small groups, which means we got to be willing. It's hard to send folks out. It means that the leaders that we lean on, we have to release them as well so we can start more groups to be more accessible and to reach more folks. Y'all, one of these days, our small groups might be house churches. We don't know what God might do. Like, how cool would that be if some of these small groups said, you know what? We like just being in the home together, and we just want to be church and be about God's kingdom this way and see what God does. I mean, who knows what God might do? Praise God for the mission trips that we've been able to take already together. I'm praying that every member will really genuinely get a passport. I think you just that step of obedience saying, yes, Lord, I'm willing. What an amazing privilege that we have to have a little blue American passport that will get us such access to so many places. And what an amazing privilege it is to get on a jet airplane and travel thousands of miles in a matter of hours. There was a time when missionaries packed what they had in coffins and got on boats that took months if they ever got to their destination. What an amazing time for us to live, to seek, to take the gospel to the nations. I'm praying that God will raise up more specific partnerships in North America and in other places around the world so that we can get the gospel to the nations. And y'all, the nations are here. Then John just talked about meeting a man that's a Sikh. I'm assuming that he was from India. I meet people at every gas station I go to from South Asia and get into conversations. We get to reach the nations here. And one more thing. I see so many faithful servants here, and I see young people feeling called to missions and to ministry. And I think it'd be really cool if this year we could focus on starting some internships so that folks could say, hey, I want to grow. I want the elders to teach me more about studying the Word and writing sermons. And I want to learn more about leading worship or leading teams on mission trips. And I think that we can really grow and pour into those, not even just young people. You can be old and called to ministry, by the way. Wink, wink. It's okay. What might God do? And what's it going to take? We'll be done in just a second. I'm going to read from you the closing from the sermon that we had on August 20th, 2023, the kind of that launch Sunday. This is the closing for today as well. We have a vision and a strategy as a church to help us live on mission for the glory of God. I absolutely, wholeheartedly believe that God can use Gospel Life Church in mighty ways. We've already seen lives transformed by the gospel. We've seen families come to Christ and have their trajectory in life forevermore shifted Godwards. By God's grace, every member will be active in serving in the body, seeking the Lord, worshiping Him, and making Him known. We will pray for, go to, and hopefully send out missionaries to the nations. We will plant churches that plant churches by multiplying disciples that multiply disciples. And remember, I was preaching back in August in Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead, but God made us alive in Christ. We have a message of grace and mercy that the world needs. We have been saved by works, but for works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We will, by His grace, live the gospel life to glorify God and make disciples. So, as the worship team comes forward, here's my question. What's the Lord saying to you today? What's the Lord saying to you? It might not even be anything that was spoken about today. That's amazing how God works, right? What is the Lord saying to you today? Maybe it's about being a disciple. Maybe it's about total surrender. Maybe it's about an area in your life of disobedience. Maybe it's about the nations or a call to ministry. Bow your heads just for a moment. We don't do this much, but I just want to give you a few minutes to reflect. Just reflect. And I want to ask God. Just ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with this? How does this look in my life? Pray to Him. Ask Him.